I'm Timmy the Trash Can, and I love trash. Popcorn boxes, cups, and candy wrappers. They all taste so good. Instead of throwing your trash on the floor, won't you please give it to me? Thank you for considering your fellow patrons.
Welcome to the Tim Dillon Show, everybody. We are here in Dallas, Texas, and we've got Brendan Schaub coming up. We have a lot of fun talking to him. He was in town doing the Addison Improv. Joe Rogan was in town doing the American Airlines Center in downtown Dallas. And Tony Hinchcliffe was in town opening for Joe. So we had a lot of West Coast people invading the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the Metroplex, as they call it. When I, you know, Schaub was staying at a really nice hotel right down by where Kennedy, JFK, committed suicide in the middle of the road. So I saw that. They have an X, nice and fun and real creepy, on the street where he got whacked. And you know, and then last night I was at the early show, and the early show was real drunk. I mean, they were good, they were decent, they were fun, but they were real drunk. And you get the feeling, I'm like, these motherfuckers would kill Kennedy all over again. They'd kill him again. You just get the vibe that these people would fucking shoot that guy in the head again. That nothing has really changed. Nada. Nothing's really changed. They would just go in. These fuckers would go in and get rid of that guy. ASAP. No questions asked. You get that feeling here. When you walk around Texas, you get the feeling like if there was ever a place for a coup in this country, it's gonna be here. It's gonna be here. And it was. Like, if there's ever a place to get rid of the guy that says maybe we should stop, like, you know, lifting fucking uranium from the Amazon, and maybe the CIA shouldn't be in a facto double government. Like, if there was ever a place to shoot that guy in the head in front of his wife, it's here. And you get that by the audiences. You're like, oh yeah, you guys are down. You guys are with it. There will be video for Schaub. I know many of you complain about the video. Here's why we don't give a fuck about YouTube anymore, and we're doing YouTube as a way to make the experience better for everybody. We like being on camera. We like the video. But the reality is YouTube is over. It's done. They're taking everybody's money. They're not allowing people to monetize their channels. Guys like David Dobrik, who have hundreds of millions of views, are talking about that their ad revenue has been fucking cut. So I have nothing compared to these people. So a lot of the big YouTubers, guys like Logan Paul or whatever, they've started podcasts, H3H3, because they're smart and they know that the ad revenue is going to be made up for in podcasting. YouTube is fucking done with small creators. They're done. They don't want independent creators. They want, that's why when you go to YouTube and you know, YouTube Jeffrey Epstein, the first five videos are MSNBC, CNN, and they all have 70 or 80,000 views. No one gives a fuck. But all of those corporate companies are now dominating YouTube, even though, you know, Luke Radowski, who's stuck on an Epstein's Island video, has close to 1 million views, which should have more, by the way. But they're not promoting that in the same way that they're promoting the corporate media videos. And this is just the end of the road. We knew it was going to happen. They can deactivate your channel now if what you do isn't commercially viable. In their new contract, when Ben uploads videos, they go, is this suitable for children? And if you say yes and it's not, they can sue you. Obviously, nothing we do is suitable for children. Everything is adult, comedic, you know, satirical videos and podcasts, none of which are you know, appropriate for children. But this is what YouTube is now doing. They are getting out of the business of small creators, what essentially built them, and they're getting into the business. I mean, YouTube will be Netflix. You guys can't go on Netflix. Can't go on Netflix and start a channel. And that's going to be what YouTube eventually is. That's just what it is. You know, there was probably some smoke-filled room at the Bilderberg conference or the Davos conference where a bunch of guys were like, we've had just about enough of this. Technology has allowed people to go out there and truly ruffle the feathers of billionaires that haven't had those feathers ruffled for decades. And I think in the beginning they tolerated it, and it even helped them because technology was just this way that you could complain about things but not take any action. So it was this simulation, essentially, this world that you could kind of just, you know, participate in. But those people, it was like great, let them tweet, let them you know, talk to each other on Facebook. Let them vent all their grievances online. We're never going to have to deal with it. Well, then what happened? Online started to get a little too real. You know, people like Donald Trump got elected. Brexit, you know, happened. All of these things that a lot of people, and I'm not saying these are good things or bad things, and I'm not saying that the people are all going to make the right choices all the time anyway, but empowering people is not on the agenda of the elites. This is just not part of the thing. They want people to feel empowered and not be empowered. They want you to feel good, but they don't want you to have the power to really do anything, certainly not upset the world order that they've really created. So somewhere there was a smoke-filled room in Davos, and they were going, you know, this has been cute. This has been fun. We've allowed them to have a little bit of fun, but now it's time to rein it in. Now it's time to shut it down. Now it's time to basically hand the internet over to the corporations that we handed television over to. And these fuckers aren't stupid. They know TV's eventually done. So what do you think? All these massive media corporations are not going to come in and suck the money out of the internet. Now that's what they're going to do. The internet for a long time was just freewheeling, Wild West. You could do what you wanted. You could start a channel. You could go viral. You could get views. You could build an audience. You could monetize it. Goodbye. That is over. They're done with that. And I truly believe we're maybe the last generation of people to find ways. I'm not saying that no one will ever find ways to monetize content again. They will. It's the reality of what it is. It's human nature. This is where a lot of people are now making a living. But, you know, right now it's going to be tough. So when all of you fuckers complain, there's no video, I want the video, shut up. You're lucky you get anything. This channel could go goodbye really soon. And by the way, channels with 500,000 subscribers, 1 million subscribers, 10 million, they can be wiped off YouTube if they're not quote-unquote commercially viable and if they're not making YouTube enough money. And I think it really goes back to the idea that people in power are not really thrilled with the idea that you can create a channel on YouTube that gets more views than the nightly news. That means that they are losing the power and they're losing control of what you are watching and what you are listening to. That is not in their plan. They do not like that. And I guarantee there was some meeting somewhere on one of these big conferences where they basically said, you know what? This has been a fun little experiment. We've enjoyed this. We've collected a lot of data. We've learned a lot of things. But now it's time for the adults to re-enter the room and carve up this space. This is just what it is what's happening. Right now, the only freedom left is podcasting, which just like radio, has always been an auditory format where you basically put your words out there for people to listen to. That is probably all that's going to be left. Because once you subscribe to my podcast, for now, by the way, until they find a way to fucking change this, because Apple already has technology that is transcribing all of the podcasts that are happening, and they're going back, they're backlogging and transcribing podcasts that have already happened. Why are they doing that? I don't know, but that's not a great sign. I don't necessarily love that, and I don't know if they're going to say, well, you said these three words in this combination, and that means you're out. You're getting a strike, three strikes, and you're gone. I don't know. But I will tell you this, as of right now, because all you have to do is hit subscribe on a podcast feed, this is the only thing that they can really take. And by the way, this is hard to even complain about, because if you complain about this stuff, people think you're a Nazi, because those are the people that are getting thrown the fuck off. So if you're like, I got deplatformed, people are like, well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about on there? It's a hard thing to complain about. It's actually one of those things where if you publicly vent or complain to somebody that you're getting deplatformed off social media, they're like, well, what are you doing? Talking about the shapes of skulls? What are you using your YouTube channel for? It's like, no, I'm dressing up like Ghislaine Maxwell at an In-N-Out. I'm dressing up like Meghan McCain, but it's still you know, you're still, you feel weird talking about it because people think you're some lunatic that's trying to start a race war when in fact you're just fucking making people laugh. But the problem is they don't want to differentiate people that are actually, you know, trying, and I'm sure there are people out there 100% that are using YouTube to recruit people into violent groups and whatever. And we know that that's happening. But what they're going to do is just get rid of everybody that's even the least bit controversial. That's just what's going to happen. And it's hard to complain about. I mean, I can complain on my show about it, and I could talk to people that are aware of what's going on about it, but the general public doesn't care. This is my point. The general public doesn't give a fuck. They don't make really money off YouTube. And if you start complaining that you're deplatformed, they think you're crazy and you're doing something wrong. It's just the way it is. They don't care. People love authority. This is what people are into. People are like, well, I'm sure you did something. Like, they don't necessarily, they're not siding with you. And I get it, because every now and then there are people that shouldn't be on these things doing crazy stuff. You know, but that's the thing. That's the future. The future is going to be you click subscribe on the podcast. You're subscribed to the podcast. That is great. Until that changes and until they can start fucking with that algorithm, and God only knows, and I hope they don't, but that's going to be the last thing that's left pretty much for everybody. YouTube channels are gonna appear and disappear at the discretion of YouTube. I don't put a lot of videos on Instagram anymore. People ask me, I just made a fun Disney video, you know, about some psychopath. And by the way, enough with the Disney Plus. Fuck off. Enough. Grow up. How many times do you need to watch fucking Captain America over and over again? Grow the fuck up. I understand that it's probably a good service, whatever, especially if you have kids or whatnot. And you want to introduce them to the, you know, movies that they may not have seen. It's all in your living room. But if you're an adult without any children and you're really excited about Disney Plus, you should be in jail. Okay? Enough. My friend Jared Logan, who's a very funny comedian, said once about Disney, he goes, it's the first culture you're exposed to. It's not supposed to be the fucking last. It's not supposed to be the last culture you're exposed to. It's the first. You're supposed to use that as a jumping off point to get to other things. To get to other books and films. It's not just supposed to be The Lion King forever and Disney cruises. People go see The Lion King on Broadway. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Figure it out. But this is what's going to happen. It's all consolidation. All of these major media companies are merging. The era of the independent creator, I'm being a little dramatic now. But I think you might look back and go, the era of the independent creator is over, where you could just really amass a following and monetize what you're doing. It doesn't seem to be, you know, it doesn't seem to be a model that is going to last for right now. So all you know, and you guys can't really do anything about it, and I can't do much about it. You know, the podcast seems to be the last vestige of being able to say what you want, although I'm sure they can take you off Apple Podcasts if they want. They don't seem to be doing that. I have a lot of friends with a lot of wild podcasts, and, you know, they don't seem to be doing that as of now. It's all for now. It's all a limited time only. You know, me and Luis Gomez had a talk, and we're like, maybe the final thing is going to actually be the live show. Maybe the reality is just going to be, if you want to hear things, you're going to have to go out live. You're going to have to leave your house, buy a ticket, sit in a comedy club or a theater, and hear what people say live. It may literally go back to that. It might just be a big circle that takes you back to live performance, because there's just too many hands in the cookie jar if it's not live. There's too many fucking people and corporate power structures that have to get involved between what people are creating and what you're consuming. There's just a lot. So YouTube is pretty much over unless something changes drastically. And by the way, they prevent people, you know, nobody gets a notification when I do a YouTube video. They don't notify. We've got maybe 18 or 20,000 people that are subscribed to the channel. We should have a lot more, but my videos are not appearing in suggest. Even though people love them and they're funny, they have a huge amount of engagement. YouTube doesn't even want that anymore. So they're not appearing in suggested videos, and a lot of people are not being notified when I post a new video. So the tools that YouTube has to limit my reach, they're certainly not helping me build a fan base on YouTube. They're just not doing it. They have no interest in facilitating. Is this all Gary V? Good question. Is it Gary Vaynerchuk? Is that who I pissed off? Did I piss off Gary V? Now he's going around all these tech companies. I don't know. I think it's bigger than that. I think they just don't have an interest in independent creators. That's fucking the way it is. I'm very late to the game. I got into mortgages a year before it collapsed. I got into stand-up comedy late to the game. This is just what I do. As soon as I get involved in something, it's over. They'll probably get rid of podcasts in a year. As soon as I get good at something, it's done. I'm just that guy. I show up late to the party. All the good shit's already happened. And I'm just there cleaning up the kitchen and watching some girl vomit. That's what it is. So I show up late to the party. So those of you that are like, what the fuck's going on? I know a lot of you don't give a fuck. Like I said, it doesn't affect you in your daily life. You're not making a living live streaming. That's fine. But listen, go subscribe to the YouTube channel for as long as it's around. Stay subscribed to the podcast. I'm hoping to God that the podcast is just the thing that endures. I'm hoping it endures because radio in some form or another has endured. I think podcasting will endure. As far as the video content and where that's going to go, that's a great question. I know that some people are just hosting it on their own websites. You know, the future of that, I don't know. Or YouTube might just be a place you could park your content, but very few people are going to see it relative to the amount of people that would have seen it, and you're not going to make any fucking money. That being said, we have a great interview coming up, Brendan Schaub. I spent about an hour with Brendan. He's a really funny guy. You know, people think I hate him for absolutely no reason because I made a joke, which me and him talk about with Lewis, where I call him the greatest comedian in the world, which he's not. That's why it's funny. But I could have said that pretty much about anybody because nobody's the greatest comedian in the world. Comedy's stupid. It's a dumb thing. And all of you that are precious about it, all of you out there that are like comedy snobs, you're even dumber than the people that are doing it because it doesn't matter. It's really dumb. I work my ass off on jokes to have a unique perspective. And the funniest thing I say is that, you know, somebody with a T-Mobile phone has AIDS or whatever, and the audience goes crazy at that. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. And, you know, I love it. Other comedians love it. It's what we've dedicated our lives to. But God, does it fucking not matter at all. So anybody out there that's like, you think somebody deserves to be successful, somebody doesn't deserve to be successful, I get it. I understand you have strong opinions, but also understand that they don't fucking matter. Doesn't really matter what you think. You don't care. We're living in the United States of America. We're at the end of the empire. It's all over. All the trends are converging. We're going to be rationing water soon. So think these are going to be the good times when you guys were discussing which clowns deserved their money and which clowns didn't. Which clowns should have had more. I get it. I get it out there, but this is going to be the good times. In 30 years, when you walk outside and the sun fries you and your kids are fucking, you know, walking to school in, you know, 109 degree weather and everybody's got to have some fucking weird sun cloak on and it's like Mad Max, you're going to look at this time and go, you know, that was a really fun time that we had. But I talked to Brendan for about an hour. We go into everything from a lot of the online hate that he gets. We talk about how he started in comedy. We talk about the fact that I'm a better swimmer than him and Rogan and all of those guys. Even though they think they're athletes, I was a great swimmer. We discussed that. We talk about politics a little bit. We get his feeling on kids playing football, transgender athletes who go through a real lightning round of hot button issues. And I had a lot of great time on that podcast of Fighter and the Kid. I'll see those guys again soon, hopefully. And hopefully I'll be on your mom's house. We don't know. The ban is still in effect, apparently. I missed that Dr. Drew episode, and I didn't show up for it. And I was going to be rebooked, but that was a while ago. So still no call from your mom's house. It is pretty. Maybe tweet at them and say you guys should have Tim Dillon on. I don't know. Don't annoy them. Be respectful. But I don't know. I don't know. We're still going. We're still going strong here with no reach out from the Your Mom's House Network. They may have no interest in me, and that's okay. That's fine. I'm not complaining. It just is what it is because people message me, and they're like, why haven't you gone on Your Mom's House? It's like we had an incident. I missed Dr. Drew. I lied about it. There was a photo of me on the beach on Instagram. They all thought it was funny, supposedly. Ha ha ha. That's what I was told. We don't know. I scheduled to do Dr. Drew again. I said, listen, guys, I'm flying in that day. I don't want to miss the fucking thing again. So can we reschedule for another time? They were like, okay, haven't heard from them since, you know? So, you know, whatever. God love them. God bless them. Maybe I'll do that in the future. But people that are emailing, you know, that are fucking messaging me, that's where we're at. We're here with Radio Silence from YMH. Radio Silence from Your Mom's House Network. Radio Silence from Dr. Drew. Maybe they're mad at me that I said that Drew would tell people heroin was good for them if there was enough money in it, which we know is true. And that's very funny because it's accurate. If there was a heroin lobby that gave Dr. Drew money to go out and tell you that you should, the best thing for your kids to do is shoot them up with dope before you took them to school, he would absolutely sit there and do it. That's just the reality, okay? I don't even necessarily blame him for that. It is what the fuck it is. Brendan Schaub coming up. Folks, today's episode is brought to you, as it often is, by Uncommon Apothecary. Okay, Uncommon Apothecary, we know what we're talking about here. We're talking about CBD. We're talking about the only thing that you need in the world right now. The only medicine that you need. And I would urge you, no matter what medicine you're on, stop. Throw it out. Doesn't matter. High blood pressure, throw it out. Whatever it is. Your kid is sick, take his medication, her medication, their medication, throw it out. You don't need it. All you need is CBD. You do not need to go to the hospital. You do not need to deal with the medical industrial complex. You can get out of it. Free yourself from the slavery of big pharma with CBD. It's made from the hemp plant. And unlike its sister, Mary Jane, CBD contains less than 0.3% THC. It's not psychoactive. You're not going to get high. Although, even if you did get a little high, what are you really doing? What are you, an air traffic controller? Stop. Best thing many of you could do is get a little high. Not a lot, but a tiny bit. Just a little bit. Just push you over the line. Several blind studies, double blind studies. CBD also cures blindness. Double blind studies have shown CBD to reduce anxiety, depression, mood swings. Maybe you're a dick. CBD's helping with all of that. Especially now that the holidays are coming up, Thanksgiving's coming up, you should take a fucking bath in CBD before you have to see your family, before you have to see your aunts and your uncles, your cousins, people that have done better than you, people that are going to ask you questions about your life, make you account for yourself while you're eating carbs. CBD is going to alleviate depression, inflammation. There's going to be a lot of inflammation after you cram all that fucking stuffing down your throat and that pie, and you're going to lay in bed and you're going to feel like shit because your body's going to be crying out for help, writhing in pain. The only thing you can do is CBD. And unlike many other so-called CBD products on Amazon and other online shopping sites, all Uncommon Apothecary products are third-party tested to ensure quality and consistency, and the results are posted on the site. It's legal without a prescription in all 50 states. We have pet formulas, so you and your friend can take it together. So are you a huge loser? You and your dog can take CBD together if you need somebody to do it with. You can't do it on your own. You want to blast off with your dog. And again, you're not even getting high, but this helps dogs. I have a friend with an Aussie, one of those dogs. It's a Merle or whatever. I don't like them. The Australian Shepherd, and they're very aggressive, and they bark and yell at everyone. And I've always said to him, put the dog down, put it down, euthanize it, get rid of it, put it down. And, you know, they've refused to do that, but they started giving the dog CBD. Now the dog is a joy to be around. It's a pleasure to be around. It's not a big problem. I always said, you know, put it down, get rid of it. But they wanted to keep their dog, but they just rein it in, which is good. And I respect them for that. You know, this is a great way to support the show. If you like CBD products and you like my show, this is a good way to support the show. Go over to ua-cbd.com, ua-cbd.com, and use the code TDS, okay? You're going to get a good deal. You're going to get 15% off for Tim Dillon listeners. See why thousands are switching from prescriptions to a more natural alternative. As much as I kid around about this stuff, if you look at the money that Big Pharma pours into keeping this shit off the market, it's clear that this definitely works. It definitely has a benefit, and it's definitely better for you than whatever the fuck Pfizer, Merck, and Novartis are, unless they want to advertise, and then we can read their ad copy, and I'm sure those pills are great. If any of them are out there and listening to this, but until they are, let's be honest, Big Pharma is just trying to kill you in your sleep. They're gonna you become addicted. The side effects. It's not just a hack joke premise. There's horrible side effects to a lot of the shit they give you, and a lot of it is habit forming, where CBD really isn't, and it does a lot of the same things more effectively. UA-CBD.com. Also, make sure to sign up for monthly deliveries of Uncommon Apothecary, so you're never out when you need it. Well, that sounds a little, sounds a little suggestive right there. I just said, none of it's habit forming. And they're like, sign up for monthly just so one day you don't wake up without it and start going nuts. But it is. It's convenient, For every item purchased, Uncommon Apothecary will donate $1 to local homeless shelters. Well, what's that doing? Let's be honest. No, I'm kidding. That's great. That's good. So you see a homeless guy and you don't give him a dollar, you don't have to. You just bought CBD and they're giving him the dollar. Isn't that nice? So you're actually donating to the homeless and curing your depression and anxiety all at once. If you like the show and you like CBD and you haven't tried it yet, check it out, ua-cbd.com. Use the code TDS for 20% off checkout. I'm telling you, I will have a swipe up in my Instagram story as well, too, to make it absolutely incredibly simple for you to find this company in this website, and you could click on them, use the code TDS, you'll get 15% off for all Tim Dillon listeners. You can really try this stuff out. It's really good, and Thanksgiving's coming up. Your family's there. You hate your family. They hate you. Both sides are justified. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Now is not time to litigate the past. Now is time to lather up in CBD oil. You should lather yourself up in CBD oil like a runner, and just basically, however runners lather themselves up in things. What am I, an athlete? I don't know, but it just seems like runners would lather themselves up in some type of lotion or something. So you lather yourself up in CBD oil, and you just basically, sit in that chair, and you'll have a great fucking time this Thanksgiving. Thank you. Okay, we're good. It's the Tim Dillon Show, everybody, live from Dealey Plaza, Texas, with historian Brendan Schaub. You've done a lot of work.
A lot of work.
With the Kennedy assassination.
Especially here in Dallas. A lot of work. A lot of work.
It's you're down here doing the Addison Improv.
Yes, sir.
I'm down here doing Hyenas in Fort Worth. Rogan's doing the American Airlines Center.
Look at us.
It's just a lot of West Coast people. In Dallas.
The trifecta.
The trifecta, yeah.
In Texas.
Yeah, it's good. So you're staying in a hotel that's like literally walking distance from where Kennedy was whacked.
I did it on purpose.
Yeah, did you?
This is my fourth time coming to Addison. I take the tour every year. And
every year you do the JFK tour?
Every year we do the government JFK tour. Government, I want that well documented. Yeah. Government tour where they spiel the bullshit to us. But I know all the facts.
You know that it's
I called out to it. Didn't happen. That never happened. Everyone calm down. That really? Didn't happen. That did not happen.
So you go in knowing.
I know. I call bullshit. Wrong.
Yeah.
Shot was over here. There's actually five shots. They say two. There's five. Three missed, one hit in the throat, one hit in the back.
Who's on this tour?
Just local tourists.
Interesting.
Who don't know shit. So I fill them in. This is what's weird.
Yeah.
So my brother, Derek, my feature, and then Asan, my opener, MC, when we walk around, I'm like explain like stuff I know, but there's the homeless community around there, all black guys for a reason.
Yeah.
They come up and they're like, oh, you don't know shit. And it's like their gig here in Dallas.
Oh, so they're giving another tour.
It's a side tour of like what really happened.
Wow.
From like a meth homeless guy.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty interesting.
I bet it's more educational than the government shill tour.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know how in Venice or like Third Street, the bums are like out there, like maybe juggling. Maybe it's the one man band.
Yeah.
Maybe they're eating glass.
Yeah.
That's their kind of Third Street.
Interesting. Venice is an interesting thing to me because I love Muscle Beach.
Yeah.
Because it's a bunch of gay guys who've cured themselves of AIDS by lifting weights.
You're right.
I mean, it's just dudes that should have died in 93.
Look at Arnold.
Yeah, and they just somehow have pumped themselves free of AIDS.
It's impressive.
Just,
really.
I mean, it's wild.
Another reason to work out.
Yeah. Have you ever gone down there?
I grew up in Venice.
You grew up in Venice?
Yeah, in the summers, my uncle lived there, so me and my brother would go out there every summer, so we'd work out Gold's Gym.
So you
that's my shit.
You were an athlete from the beginning?
Yes and no. I mean, yeah, I mean, I grew up playing sports, but in Venice, it was like, we'd go in the summers, me and my brother just hang on the boardwalk. My dad would give us like our allowance for the week, and we'd buy fake Rolexes, and we'd collect them. Then we'd go back home, and we'd sell them to the kids for way more expensive prices.
So you were a business guy.
It was a hustle.
You were smart from the beginning. Buy the fake Rolexes on the Venice boardwalk.
Yeah.
Sell them to your friends. How old?
8, 9, 10.
8 or 9 year olds buying fake Rolexes.
Hell yeah.
Where was this going on? Where
Aurora.
Is
Aurora? You ever been there?
Aurora, Colorado?
Yeah.
Where they had the shooting.
All the shooting.
Yeah. And Dan Soder is from there?
Yeah, me and Dan are from the same hometown.
And you guys played football against each other?
Rival high schools.
You guys are better.
Of course.
Okay, clearly. Interesting. Did you know him at all or not really?
No, not really. I didn't know him till I started in the comedy scene. And then I was like, what good comics are to Denver? And there's TJ Miller. Who's from Denver, and then obviously Dan Soder are the big ones.
Yeah.
Roseanne.
Is Roseanne from there?
Sinbad.
Okay. Interesting.
That's about it.
It's a great, Denver Comedy Works, a lot of people say is the best club in the country.
Have you been there?
I have, yeah.
What do you think?
Opened for Soder. Amazing. Denver, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the altitude or if it's the lack of oxygen or it's just the audiences are great.
They think everything's funny.
You feel like Chappelle when you're out on the stage. It's almost too good.
It's almost like the Ice House. Have you done Ice House?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm not this funny. Please,
right. And
please
don't
laugh.
Then you go somewhere else.
Then you go to a real club and eat shit.
Right. Like,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes
like
more
that's
sense.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
What? So as somebody who's an athlete, because I was a swimmer when I was younger. And I will still beat you
how
in a swim race.
How competitive?
I was the third fastest butterfly on Long Island. I'll destroy you.
How old? How old?
Joe Rogan.
Hold on. How old?
Nine, Brendan.
Okay.
Eight or nine.
I don't know.
Okay. So the contributions of children to sports don't matter? Really?
No one gives a fuck.
Really? What do you mean no one gives a fuck about you? A lot of people give a fuck. It moves the economy. By the way,
dude,
if nobody gives a fuck, then why is everyone getting mad when they're injected and boys become girls and girls become boys? It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. You were the butterfly?
I was the third fastest butterflyer on Long Island.
Long Island? Was it
there was
competitive?
A kid who was better than me. He had a French name. You know that guy that you can't catch? He's always just better.
A Pierre Leconque or something like that.
My mother knows his name, and he always destroyed me. You know what really killed me about this kid? He never even saw me as competition. He always just kind of like looked at me and was like, and he was never friendly and whatever, but I was third, and I think I got to second once, but I never beat him.
I wonder what the kid is doing now.
I don't know, but it was the Long Beach Tiger Sharks swim team. We were
Hell
one of the
yeah.
top swim teams in the country. My mom was a coach. I was. So
oh,
the
your
idea
mom
that
was
like,
the coach.
People see people like me and you, they're like, oh, what do they have in common? Athletics, number one.
Knew it.
Because I was doing athletic things.
As a kid.
I was a tap dancer. Have you ever tap danced?
No, tough.
Tap dance is a skill.
Agree.
It's athletic.
It's super athletic.
It's not football.
The river dance?
That's crazy.
What's up,
That's
bro?
Insane. I can't do that. I couldn't do
Hold
that.
Hold on. As a kid, though, you childhood actor.
Childhood actor.
Swimmer.
Swimmer.
Tap dancing.
Well, yeah, because they would think that, like, as a kid actor, they were like, you got to learn how to tap dance.
Strange.
Kind of demeaning. It's kind of, they feel that way about black people too. They're like, you should just tap dance.
Just dance.
You might just be put in something. You just got to learn how to dance.
Or play basketball.
Just
you
dance
figure it
or
out.
Play basketball. Yeah. Something's going to happen. But I remember, and I say that because I remember the best feeling of my life, which I haven't been able to get back to, but it's only been 30 years. The best feeling of my life, not quite 30, was being thrown in a pool Saturday morning that was freezing, swimming for 2 hours. And then getting out of the pool and then this is what my parents ruined me, that I would go have like McDonald's breakfast.
Yeah.
Because it was like,
I know,
but that was, we grew up like that.
Boomers, but Michael Phelps eats McDonald's.
He eats garbage. Yeah.
Greatest swimmer of all time.
That was the best feeling that I ever had, was working out and being healthy. Now, obviously, I was nine.
Like achieving something, though? What it was?
Well, it was achieving something. It was discipline. Yeah. It was a level. If it was, I knew no matter what happened, my parents were going to scoop me out of bed and throw me in a pool like four times a week.
Yeah,
I didn't have
grind.
A choice. 4 times a week.
But you have that now, but not as far as athleticism or swimming. You have that now with stand-up and podcasting.
Yeah.
How many sets you do a week?
A lot. I mean, I do it. Well, I mean, let's
do a lot.
A lot.
Go through it.
I do as many as you can in LA. It's not as much as New York, but I do a lot. And then I podcast a lot and I make content. It's a lot of stuff going on.
So now your energy's into that, which is,
I know.
The discipline for that,
it's
to me,
huge.
Would be harder than most athletics. Is athletics, whether it's football, MMA, swimming, like there's a blueprint on what you need to do. For this, there's not. And also, no one's calling me, hey, Tim, make sure you do your sets tonight. So
nobody.
Your discipline now is in a completely different lane.
What
way
you
harder.
Said made a lot of sense once you said it's kind of like a chess game where kind of like you have to look at all the pieces and decide like what's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to decide what you're going to do. You have to make a decision. I think maybe with athletics, like you said, you're just running an algorithm.
Yeah, it's an algorithm that guys who were way more successful before, you can follow that. With stand-up, there's no algorithm. It's
right.
Like this game we play is insane.
There's broad strokes of what you should do, but then
okay, get up, you know,
right.
But it's like, how much are you writing?
How much are you writing?
How are you writing?
How do you take a good joke, make it a great joke?
How do you respond after it doesn't go well?
Right.
Your road shows, you know, it's like
how
a
do
lot
you market
goes into
yourself?
It. Now that the whole marketing, the social media aspect, the podcast, everyone's
when
trying to do podcasts.
When you came into stand-up, a lot of your friends are also people that are athletic. Really only Joe. I mean, I was going to say Tony's not athletic. I mean, like, are you friends with a lot of comics that are somewhat athletic? Not really.
I mean,
Brock
Callen's athletic, especially
Callen
being 51.
Callen is. Absolutely.
But like, we don't do anything. I'm trying. The only people with athletic backgrounds would be Rogan with his taekwondo. Callen's athletic.
When you
but,
get into comedy, do you look around at these people and you're like, these people are animals? Like,
what do
when
you mean?
You look around at comics. And sometimes how crazy they are, or the lack of discipline.
All my friends are disciplined as fuck. That's the thing. It's like,
right.
Like, and Rogan says all the time, and I don't take offense to it, but it doesn't make sense to me when people go, oh, he's bringing an athlete's work ethic over to comedy. It's like, no, it's just a work ethic.
It's just
like
a work
Chris
ethic.
Chris D'Elia has an insane work
ethic.
Yeah,
they work. He works very
Rogan
hard.
Rogan has insane work ethic. Bill
right.
Burr, you. Like,
right, we work.
All
yeah.
my, all my like Kreischer, like all my guys, my
work
friends
hard.
work their ass off. So it's like, I view it different as like animals. No, like these guys, they're workhorses, man.
Yeah. What do you think when you look at like, what when you look at great fighters, because you were in the UFC for how long?
6 years.
6 years. Are you're still friendly with people in that?
Yeah, I mean, my only really association with it is I do the show on Showtime called The Food Truck Diaries.
Right.
So we book the fighters, but my show on there now, it's just really, you know, I talk about fighting and fighting culture, but it's more a lifestyle show. I don't have guests on there anymore. I save it for Food Truck. But outside that one fight show that I do, I follow the sport, but...
Did you watch Logan Paul KSI?
I did. Logan Paul's a buddy, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I did his podcast.
Yeah.
He's like a good... I think people... It's like one of those other things where people, for whatever reason, don't like him, but if...
But why?
But why?
But why? Because he's insanely successful?
Yeah.
I know, but he does this, and I get it. That's a bit of a character form.
Yeah.
It's like the same way, like, people hate Justin Bieber, but why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck?
Right. Well, there's a lot of animosity. You have it too. People don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's because you got people feel like you're successful comedy and because you come from this other successful thing, they don't feel like you've paid the right kind of dues? Do you think it's that? Or do you think people are just like...
I mean, that it depends. Like if you're... Yeah, I don't know. I think, but anyone...
Because you're one of the nicest people that I've ever met. Most like a lot of comedians are not as...
Assholes.
Are ass. I mean, really. Yeah. I mean, so the reality is, and then I'll see like some of the hate you get, and I'm like, I don't get it. I guess it's because people are either jealous or people just have a... There's this weird thing with comedy where like people are like, this person deserves success and this one doesn't.
But
and they're really
the market,
invested
but
in
the
it.
Market tells you.
Right.
There's a market that it tells you.
Right.
You know, that lets you know what your value is.
Right.
100%. So the market decides what your value
100%.
Is. Not these group of haters on the internet. They, those guys, those people don't matter.
Right.
So when it comes to me and hate, it's like, I don't see any of it. I don't read any comments. I do nothing.
Right.
So I don't see it. But if people who I look up to, whether it's comics, other successful comics aren't upset as well. What I'm doing.
Nobody is.
No one.
No anyone who's in the business cares at all.
No. It's only people who are dissatisfied with their own careers and their own lives who are upset because maybe they think I'm taking spots from them or I'm selling out Addison and they're not.
Well, it's also they just not me. They got to dislike somebody.
They have to.
Somebody has to be.
But the other thing is, too, is it's just like it's just their own insecurities. And also, it's weird for them because, you know, they might associate me as, who knows, maybe they knew me when I was playing football, so they associate me as a football player. Then when I went from football to fighting, they associated me as a football player doing fighting. But then they knew me from fighting. It's weird for them to see me go from that to stand-up. Like, well, that's not
there's
fair.
There's also this idea that whatever you go into, you kind of figure it out. And there are people that spend their entire lives not figuring things out. You're kind of figuring it out. You are figuring it out. And maybe there's just an animosity that comes from that.
Like, but I get it. I'm not mad at him.
Right.
You know, like, I don't see it. So I hear about it, and then it's like, as long as, you know, if I show up tonight and there's no one there, then I'm...
People also don't understand jokes. Like, they don't understand kidding around. Like, there's... Somebody came on the internet, and they were like, oh, Tim Dillon hates Brendan Schaub because I tease Luis Gomez all the time. I say I'm now a follower of you and not him because you have an Aston Martin. It's literally the funniest thing in the world.
It's hilarious.
And then I go because Lewis is like, you should have never tried keto. You're not an athlete. Schaub's not. Don't take Schaub's advice. You have to take my advice because I used to be fat and Schaub was never fat. So it was like,
that's fair.
That
is he
fair,
was big, right?
That
I like Lewis. I don't have any qualms.
No, of course.
With Lewis.
But just then I say I follow Schaub's advice. He's the greatest comedian that's ever lived. And no, like, people online are like, ha ha, see, Tim Dillon hates Brendan Schaub. I'm like, no, it's a joke, you idiot. Saying that any one of us are the greatest comedian that ever lived is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
That includes anybody right now doing arena. Like,
100%.
100%.
It's outlandish.
But people are like, yeah, it's a war. It's a fight. And it's like, these people are, they're heavily invested in that idea.
That's what they want. But they need that. Like,
they need, yeah, like, it's like a thing they need.
They like drama. And like,
Dalia
hit me up the other day. I was like, hey, have you heard this? Have you heard that? Apparently you and I hate each other.
Yeah, everybody hates everybody.
And Chris was over at my house.
Right,
he's
crazy.
I'm like, I don't see any of it, dude.
Right, yeah. But people just kind of invent these things.
I think a lot of resentment for some of these people are, right? Like, I came into the game and I came in a different route where Brian Callen's my best friend. We do a show together. He's a good comedian.
Yeah.
Then me and him go on the road together doing Live Fire and the Kids. So those were my open mics, these huge
massive
crowds,
shows,
which is
what
a lot
I love
of
about your special. My favorite part of your special is the beginning of your special where you're in a mansion and you're like, the life of a comedian is just wild. You know, he's like, this is the way us comics live. He's got his own basketball court. He's like, this is just us. And then he's also got like a beautiful kid and a life. I'm like, no, this is not at all anything that comedians are involved in at all. You're like, it's just life of a comedian, you know, here in my granite kitchen in my huge house. So people just get heated. They get angry.
But here's the thing. Like, a lot of people, that they get angry because maybe they're like, oh, he the only reason he sells, this is my favorite, when they go, the only reason he sells tickets because he was in the UFC.
It's right.
Like, no. You have any UFC fighter try and sell tickets at Addison Improv doing
it's
stand-up.
Not,
it doesn't work like
no,
that.
No, people like
Or they go, the only reason he can sell any tickets because of Joe Rogan. Okay, fair.
Right.
How many people has Joe Rogan had on his show or co-signed?
Dead or not selling tickets.
It doesn't work that way. This is my fourth time here selling tickets.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that kind of story that they're painting right now, the only reason because he's fit, well, that works once. You might go to a city and you could sell 500 tickets. People are like, dude, he was awful.
Right.
No, I sell out more tickets everywhere I go.
Right.
Everywhere I go.
Yeah. Well, those people like what you do.
Yeah.
They like the podcast. They you know, the podcast gets huge numbers. I think that, like,
I also do tons of sets in LA. I also
of course.
Put in the work.
Yeah. What have you, now you have a son. Your son is 3 or 4 years old.
3 and a half,
You have a real life. That's why you're not reading YouTube comments. You have real life to be concerned.
Can't.
Your son goes to like a
fancy school.
Do you meet celebrity parents?
Yes.
is that weird?
Not,
do they know who you are?
Yeah, like we know who each other are. Like, I won't say who it is. I get in trouble if I say who's okay. at the school, but it's a guy who has played Batman.
Love it.
And my girl goes, why'd they let this guy in there? It's a fucking bum. I go,
yeah.
What'd you just say? She goes, why would they let this guy in there? I go, that's the greatest living actor alive right now. She goes, really? I went, that's Batman, bitch.
Yeah.
That's Batman. I went, that's Batman, bitch.
Yeah. So. And then you hit her. But you know, has to happen. What?
She's Mexican.
Do you, when you're raising a kid and he's going to have a lot of money, he's going to be.
Well, no. Papa's going to have
a lot of money. You have a lot of money.
He doesn't have a lot of money.
He has no money. What do you do when you're raising a kid in a situation where he's like, how do you prevent that person from becoming an LA monster?
I know.
The type of kids that we see on scooters, on Melrose, that have YouTube channels that can buy and sell me, maybe you too.
Probably.
How do you stop a kid like that?
You got to get him motivated.
Becoming a SoundCloud rapper.
I know.
Yeah.
Little Uzi Vert or some shit.
One of them. Little whatever it is. I don't want to say any of them because then they've all died. I got in trouble the other week because I said one of them and it was a dead one. I'm sorry. It was Little Bo Peep or whatever. I respect them all. It's tough. I respect the game. Zan follows me on Twitter. Little Zan follows me on Twitter.
Shout out to Little Zan Zan.
Right.
I think you got to make sure he's interested in, he has to have some sort of passion.
Right.
Like you can't have just like a weird kid who's just floating and doing drugs.
Yeah,
and
just driving dad's Aston Martin around.
Yeah, you can't have that.
You can't have it.
So hopefully he gets motivated. I don't care what sport he wants to play or if he wants to be an actor or whatever, but he has to have some goal, and that's going to keep him, I hope, on path.
He's got, yeah. Or is being a dad great or is it anxiety producing?
Both.
Right.
Because you're like scared of the world. You're just like, oh my God, man.
Right. You got to make sure that, the way I think about it, when you have babysitters, you have things like that.
We got a new nanny a year ago when we moved. I spied on her for 4 weeks.
Okay. See, that's exactly what you have to do. She'd go to the
park. Home. I was already at the park.
Interesting. So you're just
spying on this bitch,
keeping an eye on her, and making sure that she's legit. She's legit.
If cameras all the house, I'd watch them. I'd lay in bed at night and then watch back what she did with them.
Crazy. So do you want to have more?
I have another one coming not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday.
Wild.
I know, another boy.
One more.
Yeah.
Are you gonna just keep going?
I'm down. My girl's Mexican. You know she's.
Yeah,
down.
She'll keep going. She'll throw them out. She'll just litter the whole house with them. Good for her. So this is exciting.
Yeah.
Do you have a name or no?
Yeah, but she doesn't want to announce it.
Okay.
I don't care, but...
Is it a Mexican name?
No.
Okay.
It'd be cool if it was.
I was kind of getting a little excited.
Marquez Schaub?
I thought it was going to be something cool like that.
Like, what do you think?
Yeah, like...
What are you thinking? Like Miguel?
What was that Mexican Disney movie, Coco?
Coco?
Yeah, like something like that, like Coco Schaub.
Ooh, that's fun. That'd be his nickname, though. We just call him Little Coco.
You know? What is your nationality?
What do you think?
Schaub sounds Jewish, but only because it sounds like an investment bank. Charles Schwab?
Charles Schwab.
Charles Schwab is different, and that's like WASPy, I guess. Schaub, I don't...
Schaub sounds... Schaub is German.
German. It's a German, so you're German.
Also, Hitler's right man for a long time was a Schaub.
Really? Any relation?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'd have to check the 21 and me.
You haven't looked.
But I don't.
How about not? You probably shouldn't.
Probably not.
So is it all German?
German, Italian, and then my mom was born and raised in England. So English.
So you're all over the place.
All over, man.
And you just have one brother?
Yep, just this one here.
Are you still tight with both parents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they live in Denver, so as tight as you can be living somewhere else.
Right.
But they come out and see the kiddos.
Everything like that.
Yeah.
Folks, there is no bigger sign of a loser than a wallet that is, I mean, the guy, we did Kill Tony the other night, and a guy got out, and he literally had just a manila envelope as a wallet. I mean, my boomer father used to have a huge wallet stuffed with $1 bills and, you know, business cards of people that he couldn't sell things with just falling out of his wallet. This is a real sign of a boomer, is to have a huge wallet with contacts of all these people that they don't need and that have never helped them. And, you know, a huge wad of cash and a bunch of maxed out credit cards and debit cards. I mean, that's the problem with wallets, is they really show who you are immediately. And nobody right now, I mean, they used to say that the mark of achievement or success was to take out a fat wallet. There's nothing that could be further from the truth right now. If you have a lot of cash on you right now, you're probably poor or you're in the mafia. That's really the two options. You're either criminal, you're running a human trafficking ring, and probably they don't even have cash. They've even evolved, okay? Your congressmen and senators are now Venmoing for fucking kids, you know? This is not 1997. So you got to get rid of these big wallets. You know, you pull out a wallet at a bar, you're paying for a drink, whoever you're trying to fuck is going to notice what kind of person you are. You know, you pull out some busted, broken down leather wallet. It's probably not even leather. It's probably like leatherette or some shitty flea market wallet you have. You take it out of your pocket, people are going to notice that guy's a fucking loser. That guy hasn't made any good decisions. That guy's going to ruin my life as well as his own. That's why you need the Ridge wallet. I don't know if you people have come in contact with Ridge wallet, but I use it. Everyone on the show uses it. Ben uses it. It changes our life. Many comedians have it. You know, we have a credit card or two in there. We have a business card, maybe a business card of your attorney, you know, just in case something goes awry. And, you know, that's it. A little cash. You do not need the world in your wallet. You keep it in your phone now. Everything's been digitized. Here's the reality, folks. The Ridge wallet is a small front pocket wallet. It's metal. It's great. It's like indestructible. You're not going to lose anything. Everything is kept tightly in the Ridge wallet, okay? It is sleek. Two metal plates bound together by a durable elastic band. The Ridge looks nothing like a traditional wallet. It's a great conversation starter. Titanium, carbon fiber, aluminum options ensures there are options for everybody, okay? It's a minimal, sleek, sexy wallet designed to streamline what you carry every day. It's got 30,000 five-star reviews, and it's a better way to carry your cash and cards. Try this wallet out. They literally, you know, it's one of those things where if you do not like it, they will give you your money back. That is how confident they are that you're going to like it. If you go to ridge.com/Tim, 10% off your order. T-I-M. Ridge.com/TIM, 10% off your order. Again, this is the future. You have a slim, small wallet. It's not protruding from your pants. It's not some type of gag that you take out and start shuffling around to find what you need. And again, I've seen so many losers do this with their wallets. Older people, people that, you know, life just fucking hit them in the face constantly. They don't know where the fuck they are or what they're doing. And they just take out this big bulbous wallet and they plank it down on a table or a bar. And you see them and you go, what a waste of a life. And then, you know, you see all the information in that wallet, the business cards and everything, and you go, this motherfucker has never done anything. I mean, that's the type of person, you get a business card from a furniture salesman and it goes in your wallet. And then you just have 300 years worth of worthless contacts in your fucking wallet. Grow up. Nobody wants you. Doesn't matter. You're not doing any deals with the guy at the furniture store. Take his card and throw it out, okay? Fuck him. He's just trying to fuck you over on that ottoman. You don't need to keep his card there. My dad would do that. He'd have cards from people that were just trying to rip him off. My dumb boomer dad was like, oh, you've tried to rip me off? I'll save your card. You didn't get me today, but hopefully you'll get me in a week or a month. I know you need this sale, you know? You just want to hit him over the head. And my dad was like, let me keep a wallet of rotating scams. Let me keep a bunch of cards just so if I have a little money one day and I feel like getting it out of my pocket immediately, I can call one of these goons and they can take it from me. They can alleviate me of my paycheck. Don't be that guy. Get the fucking Ridge wallet. okay? Ridge.com/Tim, T-I-M. I use this. I really do like it. Again, great way to support the show. If you're thinking to yourself, hey, I want a new wallet. I'm sick of being a loser and keeping all this worthless information. I want a small, compact, front-facing, sleek, sexy, futuristic wallet. And I also enjoy the Tim Dillon Show. Well, what a great idea to go to ridge.com/Tim, T-I-M. Okay? All right, boomer? Go and get that wallet. Goodbye. Do you feel like you'll ever, stand-up's changing so much, it's do you ever get worried that we're all in a bubble and that it's all going to come crashing down and we're all going to have to get, you
Never.
Know?
We'll always be the ones where, like there's nothing you can do. If you want a network show or something like that, you know, that you should be worried about that. If you're in TV, you should be worried.
Do you ever think to yourself what else you could do? You're like a personality. You could do a lot of different things. Do you ever?
No, I don't need to, because between the podcast that I own and then stand up, it's like, can't really take that.
And you do
stuff.
Crazy merch stuff too.
We do merch. Would you ever get into part of like the business?
Would you ever get into the fashion industry or something like that?
Cause I'd be down.
I could see you having like seven clothing companies.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
Yeah. You're a smart guy. You're always thinking about like, what can I do?
Yeah.
To make, and there's a lot
of, like, it's like, what can I do, but that I'm into.
That you're into, that's fun, and that you can.
Yeah.
Do you ever look around at comics and you go, "Man, that's a talented person," but they just fucking don't
all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's the thing: and I had this conversation with a mutual friend of ours who's a comic, and I went, "I don't. Why is he not? He should be fucking Jerry Seinfeld." And they were he's just on this loop. Like it's never gonna work.
Right.
He's been doing the same thing. Like this is just there's no hope. I'm like, no, I can help. I'm like, I'm telling you, you can't help this guy.
What do you think it is?
Bit of self-sabotage, bit of just like not a risk taker, doesn't want to put in the work, worried about losing, you know, maybe an hour, doesn't want to shoot a special.
Do you think that, have you been, because I think New York sometimes, for whatever reason, can people get in their heads about purity. Being a purist, and there's only one way to do it, and I'm going to do it that way. And sometimes, not all of them, there's amazing people in New York, but like, what I like about LA is that there's not really a line between a guy like me or a Logan Paul or somebody, you know what I mean?
You don't think so?
Like in LA, I feel like, you know,
what do you mean by line?
Like, you there's a the line that he lives blurred? In a mansion that I don't, and then I don't. But the reality is, like, he's a guy with an audience. I feel great going on his show. I feel great going on a YouTuber show or social media. Like in New York, there's such this.
The line would be drawn when there's a live performance, when it takes. When it's time to do stand up, the line would be drawn.
Sure, because he's not a stand up.
That's where
you. But in
blurred.
New York, a lot of people are just not enlarging their audiences because it's like a circle jerk.
It's almost it's the old school mentality.
It's the old school mentality. And I'm like, no, you got to get out there and collaborate with people that are not stand up comics.
But I also, and tell me if I'm wrong, and I think it's opened up more. I mean, Andrew Schultz, we're talking about this.
Yeah, Schultz has, you know, led the way.
Yeah, where in New York, you guys are very like. Like what you, it's your bone and you better fucking fight me for it.
Yeah.
When in LA, it's like, especially in the group I run in, it's more of what, like helping each other.
Well, there's a lot more money in LA. So when there's a lot more money, there's scarcity in New York. So people are fighting with each other more.
That doesn't make sense. More money in what way? Because
you guys are way ahead with podcasting. You guys made a lot more money. Your shows are a lot bigger.
That's not because we're in LA.
No, it's because
you could
the attitude.
That. You could do it everywhere.
It's the attitude. But I would argue that some of that was the necessity of innovation, being in LA, not having as many spots, New York City being so focused on stand-up, there was a lot of spots, people just working and being so busy. I think LA, there's more downtime. If people said, well, what else can we do? Mm. How else, you know, Rogan, you know, starting that whole thing, you know, not being at the Comedy Store as much because of the whole Mencia thing.
Yeah.
I think like that innovation, you guys are just way ahead. And there's just a lot more money. And also, LA is Hollywood and movies and TV and there's a million other things. And New York, there's not as many of those things. So New York, you have status and everybody's kind of like, who's high on the totem pole of who's a real comic and who does, you know, who's working a cellar every night and who's doing this and who's doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I think starts to happen to people is they lose sight that there's a larger world out there and they got to reach people.
Yeah, and I think it shows too. Not that, you know, the argument New York comics brand LA comics, but some of the New York comics who will come over, like you, Mark Norman,
yeah,
Schultz. It's like, yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Monsters.
Yeah. No, I didn't know which way that was going. You're like, Jesus Christ, these guys, like, these are rough hang.
Horrible.
This is a rough hang.
They're terrible to be around. No, all you guys are fucking fantastic.
We did a lot of skill. Yeah.
Because you guys are doing so much comedy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, holy fuck,
man. Yeah. Well, I think that's, I appreciate that. But I also think, man, that there's a lot of beasts in LA too. It's like different.
Oh, there's a lot of beasts.
There's just a lot of beasts. There's people that just do it differently. You know, there's people that at your age now, are you glad that you waited to get into comedy? Because are you like,
I don't think I'd have a perspective.
Yeah.
If I would have started younger, granted, I wish I had the stage time when I was younger, but it's like, I don't know what perspective I'd have.
Right.
Like now I've gone through some shit, ups and downs, and like it gives me more perspective on life.
Do you have a life where you feel like there's a lot of drama, there's no drama? Like, are you somebody who's how does...
My drama comes from outside of the house. I don't have drama inside my house.
With
my kid, my girl, there's no drama. My drama comes from... my business partners,
okay,
who are other comics,
right? Okay,
comics are, we're all crazy in our own way.
Everybody wants to do it their way.
Yes,
yeah. And you and Callan are super tight, but you guys like every now and then, I guess you
me
bump
and
heads.
Callan, it's very me and Callan don't bump heads.
Okay,
no.
Do you and Theo bump heads ever?
Not really bump heads. No, me and Theo, you're talking about two different kind of personalities. Where I grew up on team sports, and Theo and I grew, like, to me, it's all about a team aspect, and Theo's learning that.
Right.
If that makes sense.
He's more like me, a championship swimmer, because there's nobody on the starting block except me.
It's all on you.
Do you understand?
It's all on me.
Like,
it's all on you.
You're in a football team hiding with a bunch of other people.
Fair.
Whereas I'm on the block, getting ready.
Yep.
My family's good name, everything right there.
On your shoulders.
Did you ever, on my shoulder, yeah. Did you ever swim? Were you ever a swimmer?
I mean, I swam as a kid, but not competitively because I was good at other sports.
Is Theo any type of athlete?
No.
No.
Nothing.
Interesting.
Nothing.
Does he work out ever? Yeah.
He's starting to work out now because it makes him feel better.
Right. What is the workout? What is the move? Is it weights, car? What is it?
Everything, man.
Yeah, everything.
You have to do it all.
You have to do it all.
I mean, you don't have to.
No, but you should.
I mean.
But isn't swimming good? Let's say I just started swimming.
Fuck yeah, do it.
What if I just started swimming?
My grandma, she turns 96. She swam every day since she was 90.
See, that's the move. That's the move.
She's 300 pounds.
Really? But that's also the move, I think. I think those things are both the move. I think you just swim every day and be 300 pounds. I mean, it's like that Gaffigan bit. Have you ever seen the Gaffigan bit about whales? He's like, everyone says swimming's the best exercise. Gaffigan's like, what about whales? He's like, do you think whales think?
That's my grandma. She would swim. It's like, I don't
know,
man.
For whatever reason.
Swimming ain't working, bitch.
It just doesn't work.
Because she's swimming and she's eating king-size Snicker bars at night.
Really?
It's like, God
damn. Is she in Colorado just living?
Fuck yeah, she's out there living. They're throwing her birthday party this weekend.
That's awesome. But that's the thing. I mean, listen, you don't want to be big, but this is what happens sometimes. It's very hard.
The problem is you...
It's very difficult.
For what we do, you don't need to be in some phenomenal shape.
Really?
We don't need to be Joe Rogan.
No.
We don't.
No.
Like, he's insane. Like,
he's
his workout,
but he's an inhuman level of discipline that we all aspire to and respect. But it's very hard to then, like, apply that to your life.
Sometimes I don't want to work out for 2 hours a day anymore.
Yeah, and then sometimes Joe will just be like, just never eat sugar. And I'm like, right. Thank you.
He's like, and you're good, right? No more sugar.
Like, he's like, just no sugar, no carbs ever for the rest of your life. And I'm like, okay, yeah.
You're like, comedy story results. So you're not feeling good? So no more sugar, no more alcohol? And I went, okay. He's like, so you're good on that? I'm like, we're good, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's an insane level of discipline.
I mean.
You know? Why is the country as fat as the country? I mean, the country is, it's a public health crisis.
Where everybody's fat.
Everybody's like 400 or 500 pounds. I mean, not everybody, but you go to middle America. These are big boys and
go
girls.
To Disneyland.
They're
like, what happened?
It's bad. What is it? And you're a guy from that world a little bit. What? How do you fix it?
What world?
For the world of somebody who's works out and is, you know.
Just people are lazy. So it's like, if you want food, it's like fast food's everywhere.
I know.
The government kind of fucks us and just society fucks us. Because if you want food, it's like the easiest thing to do is stop at Burger King. Something like the healthy options are more expensive. They're harder to get. So it's like already tough to eat healthy. Then there's no healthy options.
What do you think about this whole thing about fat shaming and that we're now celebrating fat people? Like,
I don't celebrate fat people. I can't models. I don't want my model fat. That's not what they do.
Right. That's a good point.
That's not what they do.
Now, what about Lizzo? Because Lizzo is very, very popular.
Lose weight.
Yeah, lose a little.
Everyone's like, oh, I like her attitude. Good for her. I'm like, not good for her. But she's unhealthy.
But have you seen her new video where she comes out in the diabetic boots? I like that. The point is,
she needs to get skinnier.
She's going
to
explode on stage. And her entrails are going to hit the faces of a bunch of white women.
The blood's on our hands because everyone's like, you go, fat girl. It's like, I'm the only one going, you don't go, fat girl.
You need to just
Let's take it down a notch. Maybe I'm not saying get skinny.
Yeah,
let's get healthy.
She needs to rein it in. I mean, there was
check your blood pressure, bitch.
She used to do something. She called out some Postmate because a Postmate was late with her food or something on Twitter. So that's a problem.
That makes sense.
It's a problem if you're a multimillionaire and you're calling out a Postmate on
Twitter. She's an addict.
It's an addict. Because listen, I've been there.
What's your food of choice?
When the Postmate shows up, I want to strangle them.
Oh, me too. I go, you know, dude, would you have other orders? What the fuck are you doing?
I get being angry at a Postmate, but then to call them out on Twitter is like, oh, you're fucking not even in your right mind. My food of choice, like
what's your go-to?
I don't know if I have a go-to, like what's a problem? Like for me, a real like thing that I should not have is like if I find myself in Larchmont Village, oh, there's a salt and straw. Oh, there's a scoop of ice cream. These are bad. This is
but it has
problem.
To be like really good ice cream for me to go there.
Yeah, I don't eat garbage ice cream.
No, me neither.
But
have you been to Jenny's?
Yeah, it's fine.
It's nice.
It's fine.
Salt and straw is the numero uno.
Salt and straw is better. The salted malted chocolate cookie dough or whatever.
My favorite ice cream. And then I get fudge on top.
I mean, and then I walk around Hancock Park.
My mouth is watering, by the way.
But so like my ice cream's always been a bad thing. I actually don't eat like I don't eat Domino. I don't eat garbage food. But when I go out,
like meatball.
No, I eat all that. I'll be in New York. I'll have
let's say you get done tonight at Hyenas,
after I'm done with you, instead of getting stuck in traffic on the way back to Fort Worth, we might go to a steakhouse, and that's not bad.
Yeah, you can eat good there.
Sure, but maybe the waiter says something about like lobster bisque or something.
You gotta have it.
Maybe I get a bowl of lobster bisque. See, I grew up going to 4-star restaurants. I grew up eating.
You grew up rich.
Not rich. My uncle was in the restaurant business. And he had a lot of great restaurants in New York. So we were just, the only luxury I ever had as a kid
was food.
And that was the only thing that I learned that like high-end stuff, I could go to really nice restaurants. So I've internalized that.
So your palate is high.
So my palate is high. When I was 8 years old, I was eating a parfait of salmon and tuna tartare with creme fraiche and caviar.
Hell yeah.
I was like, is this Osteria caviar? Ugh, you know? Is this Iranian? So it's a problem. And then I got into drugs. 13 to 14 started with the cocaine.
What are you, Macaulay Culkin?
First
13
line.
Or 14?
I was trying to be. I failed.
I know you were.
I failed.
13, 14?
13 cocaine. Was the first line of coke.
That's some New York
my
shit.
My friend's backyard, Long Island.
And you got addicted to it.
On the water, of course.
And you got addicted to it?
No. I got addicted when I was like 20, when I was selling subprime mortgages in Long Island. And I was like, this is a great way.
Because you're unhappy?
I wasn't thrilled, but I was also like, it's a great way to just be coked up and have a lot of energy and be on the phone and be talking to people and be like this world of sales guys that wore suits and, you know, drove Range Rovers and everybody did cocaine.
The Wolf on Wall Street. I feel you.
Yeah, that's what this
that's
is.
Your kinda life.
It's the wolf, but it's not on Wall Street.
No.
Nobody had really.
It's Wolf on Long Island.
Yeah, but it was like, it was a big issue. I mean, there was a lot of issues.
Well, did you hit rock bottom?
I mean, but it wasn't the rock, like everyone's going to yell at me when I say what rock bottom was.
Everyone's rock bottom's different.
Yes.
Dom Herrera says, there's always wiggle room for rock bottom.
There's always a basement.
You know, you're lower.
But my rock bottom was I bought a house for $600,000 that I could not afford, but I just bought this big house. And then that started the events in motion for rock bottom.
How so? Because you couldn't afford it and you went bankrupt?
Well, I was just, I was just like drinking every night at a bar up the block from my house. I was doing drugs. It was 2009. The mortgage industry had collapsed. This industry I thought I was going to be in forever had literally just evaporated. I was fucked. I wasn't making any money. I owed a lot of money because I bought this crazy big house. I was 23 years old.
And you're by yourself?
By myself, 23 years old, hanging out at a bar up the block from my house. And I could have flushed my whole life down the toilet then. And then I started doing stand-up comedy in 2010.
So thank God that happened.
Thank God that happened.
You'd and still that be fucking
turned everything around.
Oh, so thank God.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Turned everything around, yeah. Well, because it gave me an outlet for the passion. And then I stopped drinking and using drugs. And then I said, well, this energy of being an addict, it's got to go somewhere. And then I went, and so at 25, I went into stand-up.
Love it.
That was about 9 years ago. So that's what led me into it.
And then the food addiction just stayed with you.
The food addiction stayed with me. I mean, the food addiction is I think it's related to the drugs. I also think that it comes from when I was a little kid, like the idea of like, oh, you eat nice things,
makes you feel good.
Makes you feel good. It's a reward. It's how you reward yourself. So all of that stuff.
I have a problem with it. I mean, I have a problem with food too. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where it comes from. Sure, I got to talk to someone about it.
Well, I'm sure it just comes from, you know, I mean, we all have compulsions. Like if you weren't a guy that like you, what you do, like people, like you have enough money, you could just stop tomorrow. But you want to keep going and doing and getting better and doing things.
Correct.
So that's a certain type of person.
Yeah.
That's a certain type of person. That's somebody who wants to, you know, pushed it to the limit.
But it's also like, I can't, like, who? Oh, Rizzo was on Rogan late and he goes, I eat once a day. I'm like, motherfucker. I'm so interesting. Jealous.
Yeah.
Or like Henry Rollins was like, I wake up more, I drink carrot juice. One cup of carrot juice, that's all I drink.
Yeah, but didn't he like, have so many, jealous. Many years of not doing that?
No, he was sober.
Forever?
Forever.
Really?
Never had to touch alcohol or drugs.
Interesting.
He's just crazy.
Okay.
He's just crazy.
Yeah, because
people think he's still drugs. No, he's just crazy.
People think I'm still doing drugs. I mean, really? Even Joe on his show will say, Tim Dillon, you know, he does these crazy sketches. He's a sober guy who seems like a drunk guy.
That's hilarious.
I mean, I put on a wig. I yell and scream as Meghan McCain. This is not something a sober person does.
Or they do.
Yeah, or they
An
do.
Awesome
or
if sober person.
If but it's like fun and crazy.
It's like D'Elia. Everyone thinks he's like drugged out.
All
never
the time.
Never touched anything.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. 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 What about sex addiction? Do you have that?
I don't know.
Yeah. Because I know people with that, and that ruins lives just like drug addiction.
It could. But
I have friends that cannot stay faithful.
I don't, my thing is like I know guys who have that issue.
Yeah.
And it's so consuming, so such a demon.
It unravels
everything you're trying to do. But I want to get so successful as a stand-up comic that's more important to me than any.
So you, yeah, it's like the transference of all these things into comedy where it's like, let comedy.
Comedy's keeping me on a path.
Yeah, I think comedy keeps a lot of us on a path.
Correct. Where you know, whether they're comics or athletes before, if things aren't going good for them and you get off a beaten path, you don't have anywhere to put your energy, that's where guys get in trouble.
Right. Well, Blue Chew, baby. Blue Chew, you know what it is. That's not a candy. It's getting your dick hard. Blue Chew, do you have a problem? You have anxiety. Can you not get it up? Are you not sleeping with an attractive partner? What are the chances of that? My audience? Probably high. But, you know, you still need to perform. Not maybe great, but adequately. You still need to get the job done. So, what do? You need a chewable dick pill with the same ingredients is Viagra and Cialis. Easy. Blue Chew is super easy. No awkward doctor visits. You don't have to wait at the pharmacy and bump into people from high school, ask what you're doing. You have to explain to them that you don't have any children. You moved to LA to be a screenwriter. That failed. Now you're back working for your folks and picking up dick pills at CVS. None of that. They ship it to your door in discreet packaging so your mother doesn't know what you're doing. Easy. You just go on online free consultation. You tell the doctor what the issues are. And is it a doctor? Sure it is. Why? Because this email I have says it is. It's a doctor online and they want the best for you. They took a Hippocratic oath, didn't they? And basically what Blue Chew will allow you to do is it'll allow your penis to work. BlueChew.com. Blue like the color blue. It's the first chewable dick pill. They work up twice as fast as Viagra and Cialis. It's not for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. It's not just for people that can't get it up. It's for people that want to get it up over and over and over again, maybe because they're addicted to sex. Maybe they're a nymphomaniac. It's where they derive all their pleasure from. Their only sense of self is if they're fucking people. That's what this is for. It's not only people that can't perform. It's for people that all they want to do is perform. There's nothing else. Most guys talk a good game. I don't agree with that, by the way. This ad copy, I think, is wrong. I think guys, a lot of them don't talk a good game, especially the guys I know can't say anything, you know? Start taking their phones out and showing people photos of Building 7. But Blue Chew helps you follow through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online, shipped straight to your door. It's made in the USA. And since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. It's a good dick pill, folks. What are we doing here? We're selling dick pills. Either need them or you don't. Maybe you don't need them. Maybe you want them. But either way, it's a good situation. Viagra and Cialis, a big deal. You got to get a prescription. It's a whole thing. You don't need that here. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, and get your first order free when using our special promo code TIM, T-I-M. Just pay $5 shipping. Folks, the first fucking order is free. You just pay $5 shipping. That's all you need to do. Right in time for Thanksgiving, you get a handful of dick pills for free. Share them with your family, okay? Maybe you're going to meet somebody at Thanksgiving Eve. You're going to fuck. Maybe it's that old girl from high school that you used to know. And yeah, she's 400 pounds now, but it doesn't fucking matter. You're also a loser. You need pills to even fucking function. So you see each other out at the bar and you're really drunk and you're gargling down food at 3 a.m. You're eating pizza and you joke around about your old earth science teacher. And finally, you go back to your parents' house and bone, you know? And now you got the Blue Chew, so you show her a really good time. And she calls you the next day. And she's like, oh, my God, that was amazing. And you start seeing each other on and off. And then finally, you both move back to the same town and decide you should get married because you both have nothing else going on. And your parents pay for a little shitty wedding. And you do it at a VFW. And you say that it's fun and quirky, but it really is. It's sad. And you marry this girl. And you have loveless sex until one day you have a child. And the child might be autistic. You don't know. It doesn't really blink. And it's kind of creepy. And you say to yourself, I hope I'm not raising a school shooter. But at the end of the day, you do what you do. And then you limp along and life's horrific, but it's kind of okay. And listen, and then you get older and the kid gets older and you go to Disney World with it. And you walk around 110 degree weather with this fucking fat animal you married and your weird non-blinking son who's definitely going to shoot up a school as soon as his finger's big enough to pull the trigger. And you say to yourself as you're sitting there at an overpriced shitty resort for the only 2 days that you can fucking afford it, you say to yourself, God, I wonder what would have happened had I not had the Blue Chew to adequately perform for this beast I'm now married to. You see, you got a life now. I just gave you a fucking life. BlueChew.com. Promo code Tim. Goodbye.
What would you say?
I'm just trying to stay on this path.
What would you say to? What do you think about all this shit where people are like, we don't want our kids playing football anymore because? What? I mean, how do you feel about this? Weigh in. Weigh in. Let's get a clip. Let's get a viral clip. What are we thinking?
I think with football, it's
here's Brendan Schaub on the football controversy here, right now.
Do you watch football
on the Tim Dillon Show? Yes.
Because like last night, Myles Garrett took a quarterback's helmet off and hit him with it.
Okay.
And they suspend him for the season.
That's too much, I think.
Way too much.
Way too much. No, take him out for a game.
Yes. It's the culture we live in where everything's like this, you know, cancel culture.
But in fairness
culture.
To him, he should have hit a woman. Keep going.
If you're
going to
do it, hit a woman.
If you're going to do it, hit your partner and you'll be back in next game.
Or the UFC assign you. So right. The thing is with football, it's like, if that's what they want to do, man, let them do it. If
but
kid loves
the argument
football,
is that the kids are young and they don't know the repercussions of what they're doing.
I don't think you should let kids.
Your son is three.
My son's three. He's not playing tackle football until he's, I don't know. I don't know, man. It's a tough thing. Now as a parent, it's tough. So but he's not playing tackle football. Like I started playing tackle, I think, when I was six, which is too early.
So you say no tackle football for these kids.
Until they get a little older, yeah.
I don't want to see Pee Wee tackle football. We don't need that.
So until what is the appropriate
age? I don't know. I get middle school.
Middle school, you think they can evaluate all of the different repercussions?
No, I don't. I just think it's what you sign up for, man. You know. And here's the other thing: is brain trauma like CT? Is it a problem? Yes. The majority of players don't have anything.
Right.
You just hear about the worst case scenario. The odds are you're gonna be fine.
Right.
Sure, you're gonna have fucked up knees and ankles and necks and wrists, but that's what comes with the territory.
Transgender children playing football.
Sure. Like Icebox from
Where are you on this?
Fuck it. Put
them
in.
Let's just make the kids that we were just talking about, now they're transgender.
Let them play, man.
What? No, but this is a big deal this is a huge problem now. You have women identifying as men. No, you have men identifying as women, and then they beat up women.
That's weird.
Not
when
good,
it comes
right?
to when it comes to mixed martial arts, that's weird.
That's strange.
But that's the only part where it's strange.
Really? What about cycling? What about, you know, old men have all these advantages and then they take hormones, then they become women, and then they dominate in those sports. Is that fair? You don't care.
I don't care.
So you're breaking with Rogan and Hinchcliffe on this, Brendan Schaub, for trans athletes. This is very interesting. I like this.
You know why? Because
Schaub is woke.
Schaub is woke. I don't care.
You don't care. I don't care.
It's like
I've never cared about a cycling race.
Or like, have you seen the one just like diesel chick and she's sprinting? But she was in a dude that had hormone replacement therapy and became a chick.
Right.
She's a female. Clitoris, everything, breast, but her testosterone's through the fucking roof.
Right.
And they're like, well, her testosterone's the same as more than dudes. But that's what she was put on this earth by whatever you believe in the creator, and she just has more testosterone.
But isn't that a rarity? That's rare.
That's rare, but
she's a freak of nature, with all due respect.
Let her do her thing.
Right. So transports you're cool with, except for the MMA.
Except for MMA. Don't care.
It doesn't affect you.
Don't care.
Interesting.
Don't care.
Interesting. Okay.
If it's MMA, if it's wrestling, that's a little dicey.
It's a little dicey.
But if it's cycling, don't care. Track, don't care.
Now, most people know this about you. You were a huge supporter, and you funded Donald Trump's campaign last time. You spent millions and millions of dollars.
That's where all my money goes.
And what do you think about Donald Trump? Donald Trump as the president of the United States.
Two-term Trump. I think that I just think people.
We just got to do hot buttons. We're just trying to get clips.
We're just trying to promote the podcast. Like,
these
gotta,
are just hot buttons.
We
all feel the same way about him. We think he's funny. He probably shouldn't be the president. That's literally the way we feel.
He's a celebrity who probably shouldn't be the president.
Probably shouldn't be the president.
But I think the majority
of
Americans.
He's very funny.
He's very funny, hilarious. I think majority of Americans are sick of politicians.
And we're
and
just
he
trying
was
to,
like the.
We're trying to burn it down.
It could have been anybody.
We're burning the system down.
Here's what's scary: when Kanye West goes, "I'm running for president in 2024," or The Rock, you're like, "Damn, these motherfuckers could win.
They could absolutely win. I'm making Logan Paul president. We've talked about it a bunch on the show. I'm not going to talk about it again.
I'm down for that.
But it will happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
His brother being in the house is
we're
a little.
Keep his brother at bay a little bit. We're going to work more with Logan.
Less
I like Jake.
We got to tone it down a
tad. We're going to work with Logan. Jake will do agriculture. We'll put him somewhere.
We got to tone it down.
We're going to work with Logan first. When you hear politicians going, millionaires are the problem, rich people are the problem, you're somebody who has a lot of money.
Yes.
What do you feel like when you hear that, when you hear Bernie Sanders or people like that? Now, they're not necessarily talking about you. They're talking about the billionaire class.
They're talking about the 0.001%.
Right.
But it doesn't make sense.
You're a wealthy person. And they,
I'm not
they would
0.001.
Come, they would
come
with
after
the pitchforks
me.
For you.
That's bullshit because I work for this. I work for this.
I agree.
But they're also all millionaires.
Some of them are.
Bernie is.
Sure. But the people that are just angry at rich people, how do you think maybe they're misguided? Because some of them have a point.
Some have a point. The people,
they don't
these
have health
families
and stuff. Yeah,
they
have billions of dollars forever.
But for people who are self-made entrepreneurs, you shouldn't touch them. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's the American dream, right?
Right.
What are you doing?
I know. Immigration. More, less, even.
How
now,
dare
your
you.
Girlfriend is Mexican.
Born and raised.
Is she
illegally?
Real interesting. Now, do you ever threaten her with a little call to the authorities if she gets wise?
Every Thursday.
Yeah, you could go. Listen, we
daddy,
can. Really,
daddy has
we
to do
can
it.
Really, yeah.
You talk back. You
what
know the,
does
you know
she hate
deal,
Trump?
Bitch.
Because of course it makes sense.
Man, it's not that she hates Trump. She doesn't like. Here's the thing:
is she Americanized? Can she read and write and everything?
Kind of.
Okay.
English tough.
A little bit. Yeah. Right. She's in and out. She's probably smoking.
She's cool.
Very attractive. Okay. Very
good.
Right.
Yeah. Good mother.
Good mother.
Mexican,
right.
dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. Good very food. Nurturing, warm.
Yes.
Does she make a pandelete? What's that cake they have?
Pan? Sopa? Dama yeah. sopa?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? So, does she kill it with the enchiladas?
She kills it with the enchiladas. Then they.
Does she order the Mexican maid around? And is that interesting dynamic?
Ooh, here's the
right, because
the,
she
here's
feels,
the interesting dynamic is
the Mexican maids are like, yeah, I know you think you're a white bitch, you ain't a white bitch.
Yeah, she's like, bitch, we know where you come from,
right.
Guadalajara.
Right.
Here's the thing though, in my house, I'm the only one who doesn't speak Spanish. So in my house, I'm like, and I have a whole bit about it. It's like I'm a refugee in my own house.
Oh, that's hilarious.
There's not one word of English being spoken.
So your son,
even
speaks,
my son, his first language is Spanish.
Really,
he uses English from his dad, so he knows he's gonna have a speech impediment. So okay. It's like it's tough.
Is he a wild kid? How do you see? He's young yet.
It's tough to tell.
Tough to tell.
A lot of energy.
So a lot of energy, but you don't know which way it's going to go. You don't
no
know
idea.
If he's going to be like Jake Paul, where you have to like, you're like, you have to get out of the house. You don't know if you have to.
Is it Gold Fronten?
You know, so there's, I think there was an article that said 31% of kids want to be YouTubers.
Makes sense. There's so much money now.
So much money. It's crazy. How do you feel about society? When you look at what's happening on social media and YouTube and things like that, does it make you feel confident where society's going?
I think it's going to balance out. I think now we're like just realizing how addictive social media is, how it's like this bullying thing with young kids and kids who commit suicide. There's like this cancel culture and this hate culture on there. And it's a good thing. It's also super negative. And I think it's going to sway back over here. And now you see how Instagram is, you can't see likes anymore.
Instagram,
you can't
I feel like followers. It's on its way out.
Oh, you think so?
Well, this is what they did with Facebook. They started playing around with it. And then it just became like a haven for boomers to scream at each other. Instagram, I think they're just starting to play around. Like the likes thing might not be the biggest deal, but I think if they keep fucking around with it, they keep changing the algorithm, it's more about
you
selling
think?
Stuff. Well, it's also like how hot do any of these things stay forever? Young kids are on TikTok now, right?
I don't know what TikTok is.
TikTok's that
Are
thing.
You on there?
No, I should be. You know TikTok. It's that thing where people are dancing, they're falling down, they're doing crazy things. 15-second looping
seconds?
Videos. They have all those TikTok cringe
It's like Boomerang?
Yeah, it's like Boomerang. It's like a 15-second, like a Vine, but longer. And it's all those cringe compilations.
But like our fan base isn't
things.
There.
No, they can't buy tickets. You're right. But I'm just saying when you look at like at one point.
There's always going to be something. But Facebook's around. Twitter's around, right?
Twitter's
been
around
for a
Twitter
while.
Twitter was going away, but then Trump energized it and it became political. I like Twitter a lot because you can put things out and people can share them relatively easily.
Agree.
So you put a video out. But I do like Instagram too. I don't want it to go away. I'm just saying there's always going to be the next thing. Right?
Yeah. I think what we're going to learn is social media and you're giving these dark demons of voice where it gives them credibility to hate on successful people or hate on talented people and also bully kids. So I think it's going to even out where like, oh shit, this isn't giving everybody a voice and giving them opinion. It's not good.
So Brendan Schaub here on the Tim Dillon Show for taking away the internet from people.
Only,
get rid of it.
Only losers.
Only
losers.
So not everyone should be able to communicate on social media.
They shouldn't be able to.
I agree with
they
you.
They shouldn't
by
be able
way.
To communicate to certain people. You know.
The problem is
the access is too. We've got rid of that fourth wall. We don't.
I know.
When we're talking about walls. Build that wall.
Build that wall on social media.
Build that wall to the people in their dad's basements, to me.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people. I think here's what's scary, what you find out on social media. I think a lot of people are in basements. Like a lot of people are in their dad's basement. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of mental illness.
100%. But there's also, it's their own mental illness.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it comes out. And I think researchers find it like, oh, this isn't good, man.
It's not good. What do you tell those people that want to change their life? What should they do? Let's say somebody's watching this and they used to hate you.
Stop watching this.
Stop watching this. Great point. Stop watching this. Except give it 5 minutes. We need 5 minutes for the download.
Yeah, for sure.
But what is somebody who's just a bitter, angry person that hates everybody. Maybe they're racist. Maybe they hate immigrants. Maybe they hate rich people.
All valid points.
You know,
here's the thing.
Sure.
Here's the. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody in my group who are way more successful than me. I don't. You. I don't, anyone who gets online and sends hate comments to other
I don't.
People.
I don't. I know.
I've never done it. I don't know anyone who reads YouTube comments. I don't know. I don't associate with anyone. So
yeah.
I'd probably start there by not doing that.
Right. Stop commenting and doing crazy.
Well, just
shit.
Do a trial test. Get some girl you're interested in.
right,
have her come over. Yeah. She goes, oh, what are we doing? And you go, oh, I'm going to send hateful comments to this comic or this comic. See if she sucks your dick.
How crazy would it be if the girl's like, awesome, let's go. Oh,
I fucking hate him too.
He goes, good. Let's get Schaub, you know? Yeah, let's get him.
Get him.
Spider in the cage. Yeah. She's like, let's go. Yeah. What's your Reddit name? I mean, it is sick, man. It is sick. What are you? Are you a California till you die? Rogan talks about leaving all the time. I mean, the state is currently on fire.
There's always fires. I don't know.
It's literally on
I'll
fire.
I'll always have a home there. I feel like to do stand-up, I'm going to have to be there.
Yeah.
So I always have, yes, I always have a home there, but I don't know. Maybe when I'm older, I'll move out.
Yeah. I'd
go to San Diego. I'd probably stay in California.
You love California.
Love California.
You've never
hate how many people there are, but I love
California. What do you think of New York as a city?
I used to dislike New York because I'd get anxiety and stress me out because it's such a hustle.
Right.
And everything's moving and the buildings. And right. Now since I started doing stand-up, going back there, being able to hang around, like get to know people and like locals would take me around, I fucking love it.
So you like it now?
Love East Coast now. Love Philly, Boston,
those are
New
great
York,
cities for stand-up comedy.
D.C.
Man. Boston, D.C.
They're all
Philly,
great,
they're
man.
All great. What's your favorite place to perform?
Wilbur in Boston's pretty good.
Really? Yeah, that's
Gramercy in New York's dope.
So you're selling out. People love you. Are you going overseas at all?
Yep. I think we just announced it. A 50 Shades of Brown tour. We're doing Europe and all over, man. Ireland.
What do you say? What do you think the biggest thing, the biggest advantage that you have over other people when it comes to like your ability to, you know, get people in theaters and get people out?
I don't think I have an advantage. I think I have a fan base.
It's an advantage, an earned advantage, but it's an
advantage. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think I have, like, some secret or something. Like,
yeah.
I think Bert Kreischer is way better at marketing than I am.
He's great.
He's way better. I don't feel like I have an advantage when it comes to that stuff. I think, you know, I put in year, you know, me and Brian have been together for 6 years, so.
When did you meet him?
Like 6-7 years ago.
And were you doing stand-up then, or you just met him
before? No, met him and then started doing the Fire and the Kid, then took that on the road, and that's when I started doing stand-up.
So Fire and the Kid's been around for 6 years.
6 years.
And then you guys developed a huge fan base right out the gate and then took that on the road. When did you meet Rogan?
Remember Rogan was a UFC commentator.
Of course.
So when I was fighting the UFC, me and Rogan were boys.
Okay.
And then we got really close when I moved to LA.
Right.
And then him and Brian were the ones who were like, do stand-up.
When did you first do stand-up?
First time we did a live Fire and the Kid. Because we did it at Brea Improv, 550 people. That was my open mic. And Brian was like, oh, you're going to go out and you do 10 minutes stand-up. You're going to go out and do 10 minutes. He was like, so every show we're going to start doing this. This is going to be your open mic.
And how did the first one go?
Not great.
Right.
Not great. I mean, not, you know, it's
right.
But that's the thing. People are like, oh, you didn't have to do the open mic thing where no one's around. I'm like, well, hold on. You mean open mics where it's full of other comics hating on the comics who are performing?
Right.
My open mic was in front of 550 people. Tons of pressure.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Now, and then your first special was Showtime. How many years after that?
Three.
Do you feel like when you look back, do you say, that was a crazy fast.
Crazy.
Crazy fast.
Insane.
To do a special that.
Insane.
That, yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Wild.
Wild.
Would you do another one tomorrow?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'd probably wait. Probably wait 2 years. I might do something, but not a hour special.
When you look back at the special, how do you feel about it now?
Everyone
hates everything they do.
I hate everything.
I hate
all my podcasts.
I hate
my set I'm gonna do tonight.
I hate the set I'm gonna do tonight.
I hate everything. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of what I accomplished short amount of time.
Yeah.
I think I'm the fastest person to get a big network special in under a certain amount of years.
Right.
Which is a blessing and a curse. But yeah, I'm proud of it, you know, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's like I hate everything I do, so I don't know.
We all hate
when I do a special in 3 years, which will be way better than that one, I'm going to hate that one.
Who's
so
your
favorite?
If you pick one guy right now where you're like, this person is somebody you watch, and you're like, fuck, this guy's great.
Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Well, there's a few. There's Burr.
Yeah.
There's Schultz, Mark Norman. Shit, man. There's a few of them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Burr's amazing. They're all amazing. Everyone that you mentioned. What?
Do you know Fahim?
Yeah, Fahim's great. Yeah, yeah. Perform with him a lot. We're on usually together in the OR.
monster.
After each other. He's great.
As far as like joke for joke talent level, Fahim to me is top three around the store.
Who are your podcasters that you're like, these guys are bananas? Do you listen to other podcasts or not really?
My favorite podcasts, I can't listen to other like podcasts like mine, like you know, like silly shit that we do.
Right, but is there any podcast out there?
Yeah, Dak Shepard, Armchair Expert.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite podcast.
What does he talk about?
His is more of like a, he has guests on. He has Monica Padman, who's like his like co-pilot. She's really smart. They're like, it's just like informative. He's been through so much shit in therapy that he I learn a lot from it.
Are you a therapy guy? Do you think people should be doing that?
My therapy's from like, you know, I probably should go, but I don't have time.
Right.
It's fucked up.
Who are people that you can't beat up? Or you can beat up all comics, most every comic. What about Whitney Cummings? She's very
kind of rangy.
She's kind of crafty.
She also has like, she's more of a mean spirit.
Do you ever, because you're a guy that was a fighter, do you ever go out in LA and look at somebody and go, that would be a tough fight? That guy's a monster.
Not once. I don't even think about fighting.
Well, no, I
can't remember last time I thought about fighting.
Interesting. Do you think it's because you're just a secure guy? Because there's a lot of little guys that always
It's not that I'm secure. I'm more of like, oh, these guys, they're going to think I'm bad at comedy. I'm thinking of comedy and cerebral
Interesting.
Stuff.
And like, then also, somebody they're going to sue you for your house.
Well, it's like I walk in a room like, ah, oh, fuck, man. These guys are going to think I don't belong there. Or,
right.
Or I'm not as smart as these guys.
Right.
I've only been doing it for four years.
Right. So whatever insecurities you have are different.
Yeah. I'm not worried about, oh, can these guys beat me up?
Right. Right. What about like that, like the thing, like, you know, Rogan's famous for his kick, right? He has that famous kick that he does on YouTube or whatever.
I'm not famous for his kick, like fucking.
Well, you know, I mean, in the fighting world, like
people, Edson Barboza.
No, of course, but like people will show me. They'll be like, "Look at that kick, that's crazy." Do you have like a fighting move that you're known for?
I was known for like my Darce choke.
Okay, now explain what that is, because that's interesting to me.
Yeah, it's so like if a guy were to like,
what's it called?
Darce choke.
Darce choke.
It's like where their arms like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you would just choke people.
I was good at it and getting it from different positions.
Were you ever a wrestling guy? Did you ever watch like WWF, WWE growing up?
I did, and then I turned 10 and then got over it.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think it's a little depressing how comics still go to WrestleMania when they're in their 30s. I mean, it's a little much.
I can't get into it. Me and Tony Hinchcliffe talk about this all the time. Like I had a bit
Tony loves it.
I had my bit on my social out Hulk Hogan. Tony's like, dude, come on, man. You don't need to be doing that.
Right.
I'm like, it's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, yeah.
He's only made the sex tape.
Oh, yeah. So what Tony said, no, don't do it.
Well, he's just like, come on, if you're going to do that, man, you know, it's like, they just like, they like, that's their Joe Montana or that's their, you know, Richard Pryor. Like they,
yeah, they're huge. I just can't get it because you did the real thing. It's like, why? We know it's a choreographed dance recital.
Oh, I tried getting into it and I'm Rock, you owe me fucking $69.99. I watched, I'm like, this is terrible.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's so strange.
It's not good. In closing, what are, is there anything that you would say to, you know, people that are excited about what you're doing in the field? Like, are there things where you're like, I want to make these things better? Like, I want to, like, are there things that you're excited to do? Do you have any interest in doing anything other than podcasting or stand-up? If you had the money, is there a version of Brendan Schaub that puts
stops.
Out? That put what?
That stops doing it?
No, that puts out a movie, that puts out a documentary, that puts out
I mean, I've been offered,
a TV show.
I've been offered.
But I mean, like, yourself making it. Like, do you ever say to yourself, I want to make more shit?
The only thing I would do is do like a buddy comedy like series, but with all our friends.
Yeah, I mean, that's
so
not
like
a
with
bad
Theo,
idea.
Brian,
yeah, it's not
D'Elia,
a bad idea.
Segura,
yeah.
Joey Diaz,
Rob,
like
idea.
All the guys. I'd be down for that, but
yeah.
Outside that, no. Like I get offered movie stuff all the time, auditions. Yeah. It's just not stand-up's
no,
not
no,
enough.
No, I mean, if you could kind of do it.
Again, if it was like with me and Brian or me and Theo,
yeah
I'd be down.
Do some, yeah,
but if it's just, if it's not.
Because I think maybe that's the direction things will go eventually.
Agree.
You know? Where you well, the,
but
also doing.
With like, you know, everyone has kind of we have this built-in audience from the podcast and stand-up, where if you think of all our crew in LA, it's like, it's kind of a network. Think how much power is in that.
Yeah.
So like all these, like Comedy Central, Spike, all these networks, they're going to want that audience. They're trying to get in the digital space.
Yeah, so
we're already there.
It's interesting because, I mean, we do so much podcasting and stand-up. There's probably other things that we could do eventually.
100%.
You know, because there's so many, like I've always wanted to do a thing about when I was like in mortgages and then cast like Coco Diaz or Santino or like these guys, you know, like in like that type of thing. And I think in a few years that would absolutely be possible.
And you could fund it yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think that'll be the next wave.
Agree.
Where can people find you? You want to plug anything, promote anything?
When's this come out?
This will come out Sunday night.
I'm in Salt Lake City,
Sunday,
Utah.
Saturday, 12 a.m., so Sunday day.
Salt Lake City, Utah next week. Wise Guys. And great, then Wise great, Guys is great.
Great club. Go to, I think it's called something's Diner, Rose's Diner or something.
Red Iguana, bro.
Red Iguana's dope. But then there's also a weird diner up in the hills. It's just beautiful in that area. Nice. Yeah, I'll get you the name.
Oh, I have Kansas City first week of December. And then I'm in Jersey, I think one night, December 14th.
Fighter and Borgata.
The Kid. TFATK.com.
TFATK. TFATK.
Yep.
.com. Very good. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Thanks for making this, man. Yeah.
Thanks for making the time. I know this was
good to see you, brother.
Yeah, I'll come see you guys soon. I love you guys. I think you're a lot of fun.
Love you, man.
Callum's great. All right, guys. Thanks so much.